Anne, Martha, Melanie, thank you so much for all that you bring and how our hearts are touched with the power of music. Thank you. So, it's a new year. We talked about that. We've been talking about that for the last few weeks. We're a few weeks into 2017, and oh my gosh, how in the heck did we get here, right? And so, as with any new year, it's a process of embracing that which is new. It's a journey of going forward, of releasing what the past year has held, what years in the past beyond that have held, taking with us what serves us in a positive way, releasing that which does not any longer serve us, and walking into the unknown, that which is new, that potential, the opportunity to manifest and create our dreams. And so today is one of the special Sundays. We experience a few different ceremonies and celebrations for the new year. Some of you were a part of the Burning Bowl celebration where you wrote things down and you released things of the past into the burning bowl. Then we had the last Sunday with the white stone and writing something upon the white stone. And this Sunday we will be about writing a letter to God, or as we talk about it, that higher self within us, because we understand that God isn't some person outside of ourselves, but it is the divine being that is within us all and that exists in all creation. So it's within, it's without, it's everywhere present. And we're going to be addressing that in our letter, and I'll talk to you about that a little bit later on in the service so you can participate in that. Did everyone receive, a piece of paper and an envelope as you came in? So we'll be working with that in just a little bit. So today is the title is Letter to God or Higher Self, Visioning Forward. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the ideas that we covered last week. There may have been some of you who were not here to write upon your stone, and the significance of that ceremony is an understanding that when we release and when we let go of old beliefs and habits and ways that we act in the world, that we are open to something new, and that there is a space made for that voice of God to speak an intention in the heart of our being. From Ephesians 4:22, it says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God." And in Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Now we know, of course, the languaging in the Bible speaks as though God is a person outside of us, but we can understand the intention. We are the workmanship. We are the outpicturing of divine idea and potential. And as we sat and listened to the voice of God to understand that in the Roman times when you were given a white stone, it was because you were released from prison. And we are released from those limiting thoughts that keep us in a prison of beliefs that do not serve us. And so written upon that stone, we talk about writing a word. Because in the Bible it speaks of the word. And yet we can understand that that was an English translation. The original in Greek, they used logos. And we understand that the definition of logos transcends anything that we understand beyond just a word. The logos is limitless divine idea potential. It meant something of infinite spirituality. So when it got translated into the word, it got a little bit of a smaller definition placed on it. But we can understand when we write that word, we draw it forth from the infinite divinity that is God within us, that is calling us to something higher and something new and stretching us beyond the boundaries that we are used to. And we understand that it is through that power of intention, through our willingness to lay hold of a divine idea, that as we do that, we're planting a seed. We're planting a seed. Many of you are familiar with the author and the speaker called Abraham Hicks. Esther Hicks has traveled all over, and the Abraham entity says, within the seed of your desire is everything necessary for it to blossom to fulfillment. And law of attraction is the engine that does the work. Your work is just to give it a fertile growing place in order to expand. Your prayer causes you to focus, and the law of attraction causes everything in the universe that's in the vibrational harmony with your focus to come to you. So friends, we're so used to being the ones to do the doing, but we kind of get ahead of ourselves. Because what we initially start with is divine idea potential. It's inspiration from within. And it's so much bigger and so much greater than anything we can yet imagine. How could we possibly figure out how to do it all ahead of time? Don't we want to do that? Don't we want to, you know, we start planning for something and we go, okay, well, I'm going to write a book, or I'm going to take a class, or I'm going to learn how to dance. And then what happens? Okay, what happens? Here, I got to get my little buddy. Many of you have seen this before. I don't know. Okay, everybody be really quiet. I don't know if you can hear this. Now, what is this saying? Did you catch it? Have you ever felt your mind was kind of doing that? Well, I cannot learn to dance because I tried when I was in eighth grade and somebody laughed at me. I can't do math. My teacher told me I was stupid and I would never learn it. I'm not creative. I can't draw. I don't know how to paint. What's one of yours? Come on, I know we all have them. Yeah. 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 And you know what? I bet that doesn't stop you, does it? No, that's right. See, I knew that. See, it's like, this is what we call, it's been called the monkey mind or the chatter mind. It's the outer mind that comes up with all the things because we've tried them before. And once we start, you know, opening our heart to something new and thinking expansive ideas, you know, that voice comes in and goes, no, I can't do it. Oh my gosh, but what if? And, you know, and that's what happens when we're trying to figure out the how and how it's going to turn out. And so intention of what Abraham Hicks is saying here is, what we do is we touch into the innate spiritual inspiration, the divine logos, the word, that's present in our hearts and our very being. And we plant that seed, like when you wrote it down on your stone. And for those of you who weren't here last week, we do have some extra ones. So be sure and pick one up. Sit in prayer and listen for that inner voice of God that speaks to you, that word or two words or that phrase that you can put upon that stone that invites you into what you are becoming. Charles Fillmore in Revealing Words speaks about an understanding of the logos or the word. And he says, an understanding of the logos reveals to us the law, This is divine law, the law under which all things are brought forth, the law of mind action. Divine mind creates by thought through ideas. Now, when Charles Fillmore is talking about mind and thought, he's talking about the heart mind. He's talking about that deeper inner voice that speaks in us. He's not talking about Mr. Chattermind here. This is not the mind he's talking about. Divine ideas from the Logos, from that inspiration, that inner inspiration that calls us to be something new and something greater. When we plant that seed and then we turn it over to God, miracles happen in our lives because we are laying hold of the substance that is limitless. So friends, as we continue into this new year, we began by writing upon our stone that was our initial intention. Okay? And then what do? How many of you put your stone in a drawer or put it somewhere? Or how many of you put it right out where you could see it to remind you? So I'm just inviting you, consider that possibility. Because it's our intention that is what will carry us forward and continue to move us as we listen to a greater message that will come. Once we have written that one word, what we want to move forward into now is that place of being open and receptive to continue listening to the presence of God that speaks in us. And it invites us to step away from the shore. You know, it's important for a ship to have a safe harbor to come into. Is it not? We all need that from time to time. Yet someone quoted, "It is not, though, what a ship is made for." See, a ship and we are made to sail out into the waters. And when we focus on an intention, a dream, when we begin to listen to that divine voice that speaks in us, it calls us, does it not? It calls us to be audacious. It calls us to step outside what's familiar. It calls us to sail away from the shore. And yet first, we need to cultivate listening in a different way. Because what voice do we listen to the most? This isn't a clue. Yeah. And I have questioned this. I've had people come to me in counseling and say, but how do you know when it's the voice of God inside? You know, and don't we all? Because when we're trying to make a decision about something. So the process is about being willing to listen differently. And to trust. As you begin to experience the difference between na 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 and all the figuring out parts. We're real familiar with that, aren't we? And that's not invalidating the power of the mind to reason and to think things through. It's very important. But we get it backwards because we start doing that first. And it shuts out any place of the divine mind of God that's active in us that's calling us into something we don't even know yet. Wow, how fabulous would that be? I bet you have danced often without a partner. And I bet you've gone to a dance and someone just showed up. You know, it's like beginning to understand we don't see the whole mountain ahead of time. That's exactly what Daily Word said today. And if we can't see the top of the mountain, we don't start. Heaven forbid, oh my gosh, when I started into seminary and ministerial school, thank goodness I didn't know what that entailed. You know, it only took me, 20 years to respond to the initial call that God was tapping me on the shoulder. And I kept thinking, oh, well, everything's fine, you know. And later. And then when it was, no, it's now, Sandy. Okay. Oh, but oh, you know, I won't have to do this and this and this. Well, if I had seen what it would take by way of a willingness to be open and to listen and to grow, I don't know how quickly I would have started on that path. But see, why I did is because the Logos, the divine idea in the core of my being was so strong it could no longer be silenced or put aside. And I didn't know how. I didn't know I was going to have to pack everything up out of my house, find somebody to live, move away, take it all in a little tiny Toyota Echo car. You probably understand that feeling, don't you? Yes. You know, it's like truly being willing to listen, to open our hearts to the inspiration that comes from a voice that is different than the analytical outer mind. How many of you have, you know, tried to make a decision and you wrote on a piece of paper the pros and the cons, right? That's important. That's good. And then we turn it over to spirit. And all of a sudden, even though maybe you had more cons on the list, something in you drew you to that part of the decision. Have you ever had that happen? That all of a sudden, there's a different voice. And it's not the chatter here. It's like this thing that comes up from within. And you know. You know, God says, it's like, lean not on your own understanding. Rumi says, let yourself be silently drawn by the strange pull of what you really love. It will not lead you astray. And Charles Hanel, who was an author of The Master Key, he says, cherish your visions and your dreams as they are the children of your soul, the blueprints of your ultimate achievements. In Psalms 51, it says, you desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Friends, this is when we are willing to listen. It goes on to say, purge me with hyssop, which is an herb. It was a cleaning agent of the time. And I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And what this is saying, friends, is be willing to let go. Be willing to clean out the old parts of us that believe we are not good enough, that we maybe are not created, that we don't know how to do math, that we can't learn how to dance. Clean me in consciousness, that I might be open to the voice of God, to that divine inspiration and idea that comes through, that calls me to dream big dreams. So friends, what we're going to be doing in writing our letters, I'm going to have you go ahead and pull out your sheet of paper. And know that how this will work is, you will write on it. If you don't finish it before you leave here, you can take it with you. You also have an envelope. You will write your address upon that envelope so that when you are done, you will put the letter in the envelope and you will seal it. This letter is something only you will see. It will be addressed to you. We will collect them. We will send them to you around July or August. And it gives you an opportunity to refresh that inherent dream, those inherent big ideals and thoughts that Spirit is calling you into. And so I invite you, as you sit and listen, as you envision forward who you are becoming, those things that you want to move into being, the things that you want to do, to be a part of, I encourage you to first and foremost write some part of an appreciation of who you have been and are right now. Allow gratitude to be a part of the letter that you write for yourself and for the activity of Spirit in your life. And then as you look forward, allow big dreams to guide what you write. So listen to the heart of your being and allow that divine logos, that divine idea that is the mind or the activity of the heart of God to inspire you and to call you into what is yours to do next.
And we have extras to pass out.
Could one of the ushers bring one forward for Melanie? And as you're thinking about those big ideas, be aware of whether it's mind chatter that stops you from writing something down. Because as E.W. Kenyon said, faith talks in the language of God. Doubt talks in the language of man. Be inspired by divine logos, the word, divine idea. And Shakti Gwain, who is a spiritual teacher and author, says, every moment of your life is infinitely creative, and the universe is endlessly bountiful. Just put forth a clear enough request, and everything your heart desires must come to you. Dream big, friends. Allow inspiration. Embrace newness. Plant that intent. Listening to inner wisdom, we set positive new intentions. Listening to inner wisdom, we set positive new intentions. And as you take about another 30 seconds or so to just finish up your letters, or if you want to finish them after the service, that's fine too. There is, Susan has put a basket out in the foyer that you can place those in. And I invite you just to hold that letter in the heart of your being. And in closing, I would invite you to embrace these brilliant words of wisdom given by Jiminy Cricket, who was a Walt Disney character. And Jiminy Cricket said, don't be afraid of the space between your dreams and reality. If you can dream it, you can make it so. Dream on.